In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ is among us.
He is among us.
The gospel passage today opened with the word, with a scene, a startling scene, a striking scene. Two demoniacs encountered the God-man. No sooner had Jesus the Christ stepped out of the boat onto the shore when he was accosted by evil itself. Perhaps this morning or today, that first line grabbed your attention, because it certainly would have grabbed the attention of those in biblical times, whether you were a Jew or a pagan, a Jew or a Gentile. Evil is personified, and it confronts the God-man. Such is the drama of salvation history. Jesus the Christ, the God-man, came to the shores of an ungodly territory, a land of darkness, and he's immediately challenged, confronted. There's opposition, there's hostility. The place is called the Gergesenes. What was this place? It was a place of tombs. That means it's a place of death. That means it's a place of anti-life. And therefore, it's a place inhabited by devils. And these devils, they had complete lordship over the whole territory, including even the very image of God himself, the human person. These possess men, as with all evil itself, were fierce, savage, and exceedingly violent. Violence to the proportion that no one even dared to approach this area and pass by on the road. Then the evangelist Mark records something startling. Jesus the Christ not only approaches this God-forsaken territory, he did the unthinkable. He dialogued. He spoke to these supernatural beings from the underworld. No human being in his right mind would ever do that. Mankind feared the creatures of the underworld. They trembled before them. Demons are supernatural beings. They really are terrifying creatures. Who is this man then? Who's this man that even stands before the demons themselves and speaks to them? Today's gospel lesson teaches then you and me in a very particular way what our Lord is doing at the level of, at the cosmological level. Yes, in the entire universe. He came into this world. Remember, a world that once Adam and Eve sinned, were destined or fell into the hands of Satan. It became a land of darkness. This world became a land of death. the world, before the God-man came into this world, looked like the Gergesenes, a land of tombs. It was a land of anti-life. And the God-man came to liberate it from the shackles of Satan and all his cohorts. What he was doing in these two demoniacs is what the God-man has been doing ever since the call of Abraham, but then he finally accomplishes it in the work of his beloved son. As we heard in the gospel passage last Wednesday night for the feast of the great apostles, Peter and Paul, the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Note the imagery. The gates of Hades. In other words, once Adam and Eve sinned, in a way the gates were shut. They shut God out. But that doesn't stop the Lord Almighty. He breaks through the gates. And they should not prevail against God and His work. Indeed, then, my brothers and sisters, where the way had been impassable, as we heard in today's gospel passage, the way, Jesus the Christ, makes it passable. Where there was a large stone over the tomb of death, as we hear on the resurrection morning, the God-man rolls back that big tomb, and what was lying in there dead, he says, "Come out! Come out!" This is the gospel news. This is the good news. Now, today's gospel passage stands in stark contrast to what had all happened before this scene. So we're in chapter 8 of Matthew's gospel. This very scene with the two demoniacs is happening at the end of chapter 8. What happened in chapter 7? The Lord finished the great Sermon on the Mount, his great preaching, which went on for several days, captivating the crowds, drawing more and more people to hear him. And when it all finished, at the beginning of chapter 8, he's coming down the mountain. And what follows? Well, we heard it last Sunday. A pagan centurion. A pagan. He's the first one to approach our Lord after he finishes his great preaching to all the Jewish people. A pagan centurion approaches the Lord and he says, "Would you heal my lame, paralyzed servant, my slave?" And he says to the Lord, "Don't even bother coming to the house. Just speak the word. My son, my slave will be healed." What faith. Faith. And then our Lord goes to Peter's house and his mother-in-law is sick, very ill, and he heals her. And it goes, all the people in the surrounding, they hear about all this and they go, "Oh my gosh, who is this?" And so they're all flocking to see who this Jesus is. And they're bringing their sick and they're bringing their possessed and they're asking for the kingdom of heaven himself. Yes, the kingdom of heaven is a person, not a place. They're bringing him to the one who heals. And they lay him before him and he heals all these different people. And then what does our Lord do? We're in the middle of chapter 8 now. He tells his apostles, "Let's get in the boat. We're going to cross the sea. We're going to go to the other side." The other side the land of darkness, the Gergesenes. And they're on the boat, they're sailing across, and what happens? This raging tempest arrives, comes out of the nowhere, which is very common in the Sea of Galilee. And the waters are billowing, they're just hitting the boat, flooding the boat, the boats begin to sink. What's our Lord doing? He's asleep. And these panic-stricken men are clamoring, freaking out. And they go, Lord, Lord, Jesus, what? We're sinking. And the God man wakes up, and with a single word, he calms and silences nature. And the apostles look at this man, they go, who is this that even the winds and the sea will obey him? Yes, this is the question. Who is this man who now even steps off this boat and comes into the land of the dead, and the demons come, and he does not even cower before the supernatural beings of the underworld? And this is where we find ourselves at the end of the chapter. But at the end of chapter 8, something radically different happens. Because unlike all the what happened in chapter 5 and chapters 5, 6, and 7, all the people flocking to hear the God-man speak, and then chapter 8, all these people coming to seek some kind of healing in mind, body, or soul, something happened, something different happened today. The demons shrieked in pain when they saw the God-man. And they cried out, leave us alone. And that's expected, of course. Life and anti-life meeting? Of course anti-life doesn't want life around. Light and darkness? Darkness doesn't want light. Leave us alone. That's not a surprise. The surprise that should have caught you as you're hearing this gospel? The villagers come. And they say, go away. Leave us. We don't want you here. Two men are liberated. They're given their sanity back. They're given their health back. And all the villagers could say was, go away. Leave us. We don't want you here. The villagers preferred the status quo. They wanted to keep the life that they knew, and they didn't want anything to change. They preferred their dirty animals, the swine, and their commerce, money, comfort, to God. They preferred their way of ease and what was familiar to them than to God. They preferred the darkness in which they were living than to let the light of God shine in their lives. So blinded were they by their own disordered self-love, they couldn't even give thanks to God that two of their own were restored to their human dignity. But that temptation is not 2,000 years old. That temptation is just as relevant in the 21st century on July 2nd, 2023. We are all subject to the same temptation. My brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God is at hand. Nevertheless, it does come at a cost. Christ is a